Welcome to the Negotiations Ninja podcast, where we develop and deliver the most engaging negotiation content and training in the world. We host negotiation experts, business people, and entrepreneurs, and discuss what works, what doesn't work, and how we can improve our negotiation skills. Everybody, thank you so much for joining me in this incredible throwback interview that I did with the amazing and incredible David Meltzer. He's the co-founder of Sports One Marketing. You've probably seen him on a bunch of your social media channels. That's because the man is everywhere. He's all over the place. He's influencing people left and right, and he knows what he's talking about when it comes to negotiation. So we get his expert advice today, all about his guide to what negotiation is all about. You're going to love this. Enjoy. Dave Meltzer, you're on the show. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you so much, man. What a great way to spend a few minutes.
Yeah, pumped to have you on. And it's a real privilege and a real treat. I know there's a lot of us who know you very well from your sports background and your history, but for the listeners who maybe don't know a ton about you, maybe you could give us a brief background and story as to who you are and what you do.
Absolutely. I'll start just with my mission, kind of a money-related story, because I grew up poor, single mom, six kids, and I had one objective. That was to buy my mom a house and a car, and everything in my life was directed towards money buying me happiness, because I was totally happy, except for when I saw my mom crying because of the stresses of money. The car broke down, a dishwasher, we couldn't afford summer camp. Anyway, my mom had a philosophy of doctor, lawyer, failure. So once I realized I wasn't going to be a professional football player, I decided I'd be a doctor. And once I realized that doctors had to be in hospitals, I decided to be a lawyer. And once I graduated law school, I had two job offers. One, to be an oil and gas litigator, which was a high-paying job that would make me rich and allow me to buy my mom a house and a car. And the other was to sell legal research online in the early 90s with 286 XT computers and 9600 baud modems and DOS. I went to my mom and asked her what I should do. Without blinking, she said I should be a real lawyer, and the internet was not the way to go, that it would be a fad and I would regret not being a lawyer. So I took the bar just in case, but 9 months out of law school from selling legal research online, I was a millionaire. Bought my mom a house and a car, just reaffirming that money buys love and happiness. And we ended up selling West Publishing for $3.4 billion, which took my career in a different trajectory up into the Silicon Valley as an internet guru. Thomson Reuters bought the company. I stayed on for a few years, learned the finance game, and was a part of raising about $169 million for a wireless proxy server company. And by the time I was 32, multimillionaire, and I ran the world's first smartphone called the PCE phone. It was a Windows CE device manufactured by Samsung.
Right.
And we pretty much had everything. Met Lee Steinberg from Samsung and became the CEO of the most notable sports agency in the world. And 11 years ago, Warren Moon, the Hall of Fame quarterback, who was a client and a partner of Lee's, we spun off a marketing and media company 11 years ago, and over the past few years, it's evolved from me representing entities and clients and brands to me becoming the entity, client, and brand. Written books. I have a top podcast called The Playbook. I have the number one digital business show called Elevator Pitch. I write, speak. I have an executive coaching business and still drive Sports One Marketing in its media and sponsorship business. So with four kids and a beautiful, wonderful, forgiving wife, I am just living the dream.
You are crushing it, man. And you know, the story is just incredible, and how you got there is amazing. You know, knowing that you've seen the bottom and you've seen the top and you've made it all your way twice, which is incredible. You know, along the way, there's been a ton of negotiations that have made you obviously successful, and you're obviously a successful negotiator. What do you think makes you so successful in negotiation?
You know, I call it abundance. I have complete faith that there's enough of everything for everyone. I take accountability and responsibility for finding value. So I have three rules: never negotiate to the last penny, always be fair, and don't do business with jerks. And those three rules suit me well, but I also know in my negotiation, everybody wins. So I negotiate from a point of abundance of giving everything and providing value, and giving hopefully $100 worth of value for every 20 that I take back. And that's kind of the litmus test of all my negotiations.
You say things like never negotiate to the last penny. For a lot of us, that's really difficult because our egos are wrapped up in a lot of our negotiations. Do you think that's a big problem for a lot of people?
I think that is the problem, is that we have a need to be right, a need to be offended, a need to be separate, inferior, superior, anxious, fearful. You know, we have such a need that we feel, gosh, if I give too much away, I lost. Look, I shifted my paradigm. The more that I give away, the more that I win. And ironically, when I do that, I get so much, much more. So I went through a transformation. You know, as I said, my background, I forgot the best point of when I started working with Lee Steinberg, I actually lost all my money because I didn't understand the laws. I was an overseller, back-end seller, manipulator, and worked from a stronghold negotiation that I could outsell you, oversell you, manipulate, lie to you in my negotiations. And once I shifted that paradigm, working with Lee into an abundant attitude of value, everything came my way again, but in the right way, the perfect time.
Love it. In your book, Compassionate Capitalism, you promote the idea of serving others. Is that possible in negotiation?
Oh, absolutely. I think we're lazy, right? And compassionate capitalism basically says, look, money is terrific. Money allows you to shop. And if you shop for the right things, you're going to be happy. If you shop for the wrong things, you won't be. But money is the energy of this vibration. It is a currency. It's an object of energy that we put into the flow. And without a doubt, you can have it all if you challenge yourself to find out what is most valuable, not to you, but to the person or company you're negotiating with. And providing them value and offering them what they need, what you need will come.
Yeah, totally agree with that. I think one of the major issues that we have in negotiation today is because we're negotiating from a position of ego, we tend to forget that we're negotiating with another person and we forget about their needs and their wants. And the only way to make a deal make sense in the long term is to get a full understanding of what their needs and wants are so that we can help them with those things.
Yeah, there's five things that I look for. The first is credibility. Right? I want to be as credible as possible. If I'm 100% credible, it doesn't matter what I say. I could just tell you, give me $100 million and this is what you're going to get. If I was 100% credible, there'd be no questions asked. The second is what you're talking about, the emotional aspect. People buy on emotion for logical reasons. So I need to create an emotional attachment to quantitative value, not just subjective value. And then finally, the last three, which is number one, you need to quantify the reasons that they should do this for them. Quantify the impact that's going to have for them. And finally, quantify the capabilities that we have in order to provide the value that they want. If you go through the credibility, emotional attachment, the reasons, impacts, and capability, every single time can come up with the greatest close of all time, which is, can you see any reason you don't want to move forward?
Right. How do we get over ourselves, man? That's what I really want to know. I mean, a lot of us have been in this game for a while. And yeah, we talked about ego before, but it's easier said than done. How do we remove that ego, or how do we start that process of getting over ourselves?
I have a great sentence that says, enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential. Detach your emotions from the outcome. Attach your emotions to the journey, the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential, and enjoy that. The key is practice. You need to practice. You'll get better. The greatest thing about the muscle of consistency, of habit, of being kind and joyful and abundant, the muscle that you're talking about, the coolest part about it, it's the only muscle that I know of that gets stronger and stronger with age, no matter how old you get. When you're 95, finding your center, being at peace, living in truth consciousness, being abundant is so much easier than it was when you were 25 if you practice and practice and practice. So enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential, and you will expand and accelerate and get what you want rapidly and accurately.
Love it. You're a big proponent of visualization and manifestation. And what I would love to know from you is, how do we tie that into our negotiation practice? Is there a role for manifestation in negotiation as a tool?
Absolutely. And it comes from an equation of three things. In negotiation, we need to pay attention. We need to be more interested than interesting. We need to understand, what can I do for you? How can I be of service? How can I provide value? We then have to provide intention. Not only believe in visualization, I believe in intentionalization. And intentionalization says, I'm going to not only pay attention, but I'm going to put my intention into it. In fact, one of the practices that I do, water is the biggest conductor of electricity or energy, and we are 80% water. So I make sure that I drink tons of water and put my intentions into the water. I say to myself, I'm going to live an effortless, peaceful day. I'm going to provide value to all that I come in contact with. I'm praying to God for at least 10 people that I can help. all these different things, I'm putting my intention. And here's the coolest thing. The formula that works is attention plus intention equals coincidence. Mm-hmm. And a coincidence is two things colliding or intersecting in a perfect way at a perfect time. That's a coincidence. Well, I have tremendous coincidence in my life that are determined by what I'm paying attention to and what I'm putting my intention in.
And the more that you do that, the more of these coincidences, so to speak, happen.
And they're more rapidly as well, right? So it becomes more apparent when it so rapidly comes back.
Amazing. So many truth bombs being dropped right now. I'm having a hard time keeping up. The one thing that you said there was, I want to be more interested than interesting. What do you mean by that?
It's something I learned from my oldest brother when I told him I wanted to be a doctor and told him I hated hospitals. And he couldn't believe at 18 years old, I was so stupid that I didn't know that doctors, all doctors, even sports doctors, had to study and live in a hospital. So he told me, David, you got to be more interested than interesting. It's truly the basis of paying attention, raising your awareness, expanding and accelerating and increasing your vibration or frequency so you can be aware of more. So many people go through life just telling you. There's three types of listeners. There's the interrupters that you start talking and all they do is interrupt you to tell you what they think. Then worse than the interrupters, at least you know where they stand, are the waiters. And what the waiters do is they wait while you talk, not listening, just waiting to tell you what they think.
Yeah.
And then there's the people that are more interested than interesting. And they process what you say. They're in life to learn lessons and they keep on learning the lessons until they learn them. And they know that if they keep getting the same lesson that they haven't learned it yet, they know they can forget any lesson at any time, but have the power to remember every lesson, even ones that they haven't learned at any time. Those are the people that are more interested than interesting.
Amazing. So, I mean, being that interested person, you have to develop a curiosity and awareness of the current situation. You have to be in the moment. How have you personally developed that skill? I know you're heavy into meditation. Could you walk us through that?
Yeah. So I think having two routines really helped me. So one, I have a home routine where everything is normal in my life. You know, no family's in town, no parties, no travel.
Right.
And so having that routine allows me to meditate first thing in the morning, waking up at 4 o'clock, and then finding my center and peace and my highest frequency and balance. And so, you know, doing that allows me to know when I'm in ego-based consciousness, when I'm creating interference, when I'm creating corrosion to the most powerful source of energy or light that I have, incredible information that I am connected to at all times. I create interference or corrosion to that connection by ego-based emotions and thoughts like the need to be right, the need to be offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, scared, etc. So I think that practice and having a home routine and then having an adoptable routine when things aren't normal so that I prioritize what I do by minutes. So I do first my health. So a minimum of an hour a day on an adaptable routine is spent towards my health. 30 minutes for my wife, 30 minutes for my son, 2 minutes for my teenage daughters, even though I wanted 5, they gave me 2. 1 minute for my mom. All of these things are important. They create a routine. They create consistency. They allow for the continuum, the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious mind to work together to create a higher vibration of happiness for you.
Yeah. And when you're doing that and you're dedicating that time and you have the intention of doing that, you're there. You're in that moment. You're present.
Yeah, right. And present is so important. I tell people, they tell you, how do you practice being present? Do it now. That's all I say. But being present to me is, can I do it now? If I can do it now, I'm going to save at least twice as much time and be so much more statistically successful. If I can't do it now, it goes into a do it now repository, either a folder, or an email folder, or on my phone, on a text, somewhere I'm repositing what I can't do now. And then I'm studying my calendar and inputting my calendar time every day to look and see what's in my do it now folder so I can prioritize by what's most important first, not what's most urgent. If something's unimportant and urgent, I delegate it. If something's unimportant and unurgent, I drop it, but I take care of what's most important first and then I knock them off one at a time that make me so much more efficient, effective, and statistically successful.
Yeah, I love that you're a fan of the Eisenhower Matrix. That's epic.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. If you could, let's give some wisdom here to the team. If you could, when you were coming up, if you could have heard a piece of advice that would have totally changed your life, now, you're a very different man now than you were when you were first coming up. If you could have given yourself some advice, what would it be about negotiation?
Simply radical humility. Be kind to your future self. Radical humility. you know, be of service, provide value first. So radical humility. I still today, that's the lesson I try to teach everyone, to be kind to my future self and have radical humility in all negotiation.
Amazing. Where can people follow you online and where can they find your website?
My name is the best way to find me. So it's at David Meltzer on Instagram, David Meltzer on LinkedIn, David Meltzer on YouTube. My website is my first initial last name, D Meltzer. But if you Google David Meltzer, you look up David Meltzer, you will find me. And I also have a text number that creates a community for me so I can text you individually or as a community. So my text number is 949-298-2905. That's 949-298-2905. And I am always available, accessible, and productive to help anyone to be of service.
Amazing. David, it's such a privilege and an honor to have you on, man. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. We really, really appreciate it.
You got it, my friend. Take care and have a wonderful weekend.
You as well. Hey friends, thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please share it with friends and colleagues so that they can benefit from it as well. If you find Negotiations Ninja Podcast worthy, please go onto iTunes and give us a cool rating with a nice review. We certainly appreciate every single one that we get because it helps us to understand who is listening, how they're listening, and what it is they like. If there's something that you would like me to discuss around negotiation, influence, or persuasion, give me a shout. You know how to reach me on social media, or you can get me on my website, which is www.negotiations.ninja.